Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio.
Give from the heart.
Give from the heart.
To the radio station that supports you heart and soul.
This is the Relevant Radio Winter Pledge Drive. Give from the heart.
Well, hello. Hold on. Hold on. Yay. I can't get over this. The generosity is amazing. I don't think we're quite there yet, but still, we're a lot closer than we were yesterday or the day before, so thank you. Well, let's pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do we come, before thee we stand sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer me. Amen. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. We ask, Heavenly Father, you pour out your Holy Spirit. Dear Holy Spirit, we invite you to be in control of us and to help us to allow you to be in control of us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, let's go to the big book on the coffee table. Oh, this is great stuff. It's the wrap-up of the letter to the Hebrews, but I there's a lot in it. I always say that. There's a lot in all of this. Let's see here. Okay, it's the 8th. Yes. No, it's not. It's the 7th. I get confused easily. See, I'm so anxious for the pledge drive to come to its happy conclusion, where it's the 8th or the 7th. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, not the 13th, the 12th chapter. And again, this is a much abbreviated version. So do go to the upper right-hand corner of the reading at the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops site. You can get this by just clicking USCCB Daily Readings, and it'll give you the reading for the day authoritatively. And some people get a little confused because, well, that wasn't the reading we used in my church. Well, there are saints' days, and there are options for most days of the year. But the solemnities and major feasts, and of course Sunday, we have to have the readings that the whole church, the Church Universal, does, or even at times the local church if it's a kind of patronal feast. However, you want to get the reading for the day in sequence, go to the USCCB, United States Conference of Catholic Bishops site. And there you have lots of wonderful things to help you, and they have good notes, but you have to go to the upper right-hand corner. Click on that, and you'll get the whole chapter so that you can read it in its context, which I think is very important. There's an old Pentecostal saying, a text without a context is a pretext. In other words, you can take a Bible bullet and you can argue just about anything from the Bible with one verse. The devil did it. All right, but let's see the temptation in the desert. The devil quoted scripture, but he quoted it out of context. So the devil can quote scripture, and so can I. All right, let's move along. That was an odd digression. But Hebrews 12:18, you have not approached that which could be touched, and a blazing fire and gloomy darkness. That's what he's referring to, is this is what the people of Israel saw in the desert when they came to the foot of God's mountain, Mount Sinai. They were so fearful that they begged that no message be further addressed to them. They just, Moses, you go talk to the Lord. Moses said, I am terrified and trembling. No, that's nothing compared to what we've approached. No, you have approached Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, not the earthly Jerusalem. Remember, the earthly Jerusalem is gone. At least it probably is from the context of this letter, which says, while the temple still stood. But, this whole letter is about the relationship of Christians to the law and to Jerusalem and to the promise of the Messianic promises. So, what he's saying is, you've come to something much bigger than all the sacrifices of the old law. Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant. Now, that word, I should look that up. Well, we'll make that our word of the day, because I believe it's misitis. But Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant, and sprinkled blood that speaks more eloquently than that of Abel. So this is an important verse in Scripture, that we've come to our important part of the Scripture. We've come to something more important. Now, listening to this morning when I said Mass, I was, well, as we old Pentecostals would say, I was convicted of sin by the Holy Spirit. Seriously. And I think a lot of us should be. And I'm going to say something very honest. Remember, I'm a diocesan priest, and we're mostly glorified janitors. But I don't prepare sufficiently for Mass. I don't. I mean, I try to, but there's always something going on. I'm always a little late. There are prayers that are recommended. One should spend, Fulton Sheen says, at least 10 minutes preparing for Mass. So I confess that. I don't prepare sufficiently. I intend to, but something always comes up between the rectory and the church. It's a much longer commute than you think, because there's usually a whole string of people who want something. So, I've got to talk to you, Father. And I want to kind of critique the sacristy. When I was a boy, and the woolly mammoth still roamed, when I received First Communion at the age of 7, they had just reduced the fasting to 3 hours. But before that, it was from midnight, and it was food and any liquid from midnight. You could not eat or drink from midnight. And that's why early masses were popular. That's huge. If you haven't eaten or drunk since midnight, you notice it, not so much as a drop of water. In fact, is when kids were getting ready for their First Communion, parents would tie up the water faucets in the house, lest they inadvertently drink a glass of water in the middle of the night when they're half asleep. Well, if they did that, of course, the pastor, no, he would not. If you had anything from midnight on, you wouldn't make your First Communion. It was that strict. Oh, that's terrible. Well, yeah, I'd agree that that probably was a bit much. But on the other hand, we've gone to the other extreme. The communion fast is now 1 hour before Holy Communion, before receiving communion. That means if you come to my church and I'm on a toot and give a long sermon, you'd almost have to bring coffee and donuts into the church to break the fast. Now, I'm not suggesting that you do, especially not here at St. Lambert's. The church is a bedlam before Mass. Yo, Stan, do you need an usher? I've actually been in churches where people have shouted out across the church before Mass to one another. Then the sacristy. Oh, sorry, I'm just grinding my axe here. The sacristy, if a priest is trying to prayerfully, there are prayers that traditionally you say while putting on the vestments. They're beautiful prayers. You know, mostly there's somebody talking, oh, Father, can you announce yada, 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 yada? And then, oh, don't forget, we're having the bakes, yada, yada, yada. Lord, I'll talk to you later. And you never do. You know, the sacristies are bedlam. I've created here at St. Lambert's what I call a vesting sacristy. And there are signs all over it that don't say silence. They say silent, which people look at, because people look at silence and they say, yeah, right. But silent, they're curious. And I have a sentence. This room is dedicated to silent in big print prayer, and so on. And I have pictures of Jesus giving the shh sign with, you know, the finger to the lip sign upon coming in church. And actually, it kind of works here. You can actually spend some time at St. Lambert's getting ready for Mass. But think about it. We've gone to the opposite extreme. And the letter to the Hebrews says we have come to something much more terrifying. Than what happened on Mount Sinai with the thunder and the lightning and the trumpets and the angels and all that stuff. I assume there were angels. So I really, this spoke to me, this reading today, saying I am doing it wrong. That I am in a sense, blaspheming the Eucharist. What? Yeah, to blaspheme means to say that something is nothing. And by the way I conduct myself before Mass, I'm committing an act of blasphemy. So that's got to change in my life, and I wonder if it has to change in yours. How long do you spend preparing for communion? Do you do more fasting than is required to prepare for communion? Do you make sure that you're in a state of grace before you go to Holy Communion? Remember, I've said this before, if you don't receive communion worthily, discerning the body, communion is poisonous. Yeah, poisonous. That's what St. Paul says. There's some of you who have become ill, and some have even died because you are receive communion unworthily. St. Paul says that in his first letter to the Corinthians. I'm not making this stuff up.